Morning, everyone.
Morning.
Our reading will be from Acts 21, continue in Acts 21 at verse 27, and it'll go through 36. When the 7 days were nearly over, some Jews from the province of Asia saw Paul at the temple. They stirred up the whole crowd and seized him, shouting, "Men of Israel, help us. This is the man who teaches all men everywhere against our people and our law in this place. And besides, he has brought Greeks into the temple area and defiled this holy place." They had previously seen Trophimus, the Ephesian, in the city with Paul and assumed that Paul had brought him into the temple area. The whole city was aroused. And the people came running from all directions. Seizing Paul, they dragged him from the temple, and immediately the gates were shut. While they were trying to kill him, news reached the commander of the Roman troops that the whole city of Jerusalem was in an uproar. He at once took some officers and soldiers and ran down to the crowd. When the rioters saw the commander and his soldiers, they stopped beating Paul. The commander came up and arrested him and ordered him to be bound with two chains. Then he asked who he was and what he had done. Some in the crowd shouted one thing and some another. And since the commander could not get at the truth because of the uproar, he ordered that Paul be taken into the barracks. When Paul reached the steps, the violence of the mob was so great, he had to be carried by the soldiers. The crowd that followed kept shouting, "Away with him!"
Thank you, Gene. Lord, always adds his blessing to the reading of his word, shall we pray. Our Father, we just ask you for your word revealed to us by your Holy Spirit. Now, Lord, as we open into your word again this morning, I pray that you would help us to see you, to hear from you today, Lord, that you would reveal to us more about yourself and how you want us to live. We thank you for the example of those who have gone on before us. And we thank you for the power of your word that is alive and active and speaks and penetrates into the deepest part of us. So, Lord, may you be glorified in and through your word, through Christ in whom we pray. Amen. It has been said that either you are a missionary or you are a mission field. Because we are the called, if we know Christ as our Savior and Lord, then we are a missionary seeking to share and called by God to share what we know about Christ to those who yet do not know him, which make up the mission field, those who don't know Jesus. And so we have been called as missionaries to be into missional living. You say, missional living, what does that mean? It basically means living on mission with God or being a part of something greater than ourselves. Realizing that we are a part of the kingdom of God and God is at work in and through our life. Living to extend the kingdom of God and to make an eternal difference for Jesus. The Apostle Paul definitely was a missionary. And we think of missionaries, we think of people that go to other countries maybe to share the gospel. And to share the gospel in other cultures, other countries. But God has called us to be missionaries here. And one of the things, and Ralph and Connie can bear testimony to this, they were on the missionary field for a while. But missionaries have to learn to adapt to whatever culture you're in, to be able to understand the people where you are, to be able to share the gospel with them in a way that's effective. Right, Ralph and Connie? You have to be able to understand their culture so you can share the gospel with them in a way that it's not offensive. And the Apostle Paul, that's what he had learned to do. And that's what missional living really is. It's understanding where we are and the people around us and how we can share Jesus with them. And we had seen that the Apostle Paul had gone through 3 missionary journeys by this point of Acts. And he's now on his way to and arrived at the city of Jerusalem. We had seen that he was going there for the purpose of delivering an offering that had been collected by the Gentile believers we had seen, and many of the Gentile believers were along with him, and he was presenting the gift to the church at Jerusalem. Being told and being warned by the prophet Agabus, as we had seen, and also by other believers, that The Holy Spirit was revealing that when Paul got there, suffering was ahead of him. But yet, he was determined to follow the Lord's leading and to carry forth the gospel. So we get to verse 17 in our scripture before us this morning, and Paul is now at the end of this third missionary journey, taking the collection to the church at Jerusalem, and he arrives there. And Luke says, when we arrived at Jerusalem, the brothers received us warmly, and the next day Paul and the rest of us went to see James. James here is the brother of Jesus, who was the leader of the church at Jerusalem, and all the elders who were present. And Paul greeted them and reported in detail what God had done among the Gentiles through his ministry. And so Paul is now reporting back to the church. And from him, as he comes back here this morning, we see in this chapter, we can discover three principles of how God calls us to missional living and how that's demonstrated in our life. First principle we discover this morning is to testify to the glory of God. When God's at work in your life and what God has done in your life, to share good news and testimony of that. It says here that Paul arrived back and he reported and shared warmly and shared with the believers everything in detail that God had done. Testifying to what God had done all around his mission and the work of the Gentiles and them coming to Jesus. And he shared the good news of the work of God in his life and through him. Part of the way God calls you and I to live missionally today is whenever he gives you and I opportunity to share with what others around us what God has done for you. And I ask you, has God done some great things in your life? He has, and he wants us to share that. The scripture says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And not keep that quiet, but as God gives us those opportunities, share the good things he's done. And the greatest thing he's done for us is sending Jesus to be our Savior and saving our soul, right? That's the greatest thing he's done. But answers to prayer, like with George this morning and others, are just the bearer of the testimony of the goodness of God in your life. And we have a good God, don't we? And he wants us to share that. The scripture says, be ready always to give a reason for the hope that you have to those that may ask us. And living missionally is realizing that. Don't keep it to ourselves. Don't be quiet with that, but be willing to share. And Paul reported in detail everything that God had done. He was glad to share how God was at work and all the Gentiles that had come to faith in Christ and what had happened in his missionary journeys, and he shared that. And part of the way we testify is sharing what he's done, and also we testify by living for his glory. And as we live our life for his glory, God is seen in us. And Jesus himself said, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and give glory to who? God. So as you live your life each day, and Paul reminds us in the scripture, whatever we do, do it for his glory. And as you're living your life every day, that is a witness. That is a testimony for the glory and the work of God in your life. Being missional, wherever, when you're at the grocery store, when you're at the marketplace, wherever you are, living for Jesus, letting him be seen in through you. And as he gives you the opportunities to share his goodness. Testify to the works of God. What he's done, it's the first thing we see. Paul shared it here. And it's interesting, as I was reading and preparing this week, something was just struck me. It's interesting what the Lord revealed to Luke through his Holy Spirit to include, and some things that the Holy Spirit did not lay upon Luke's heart to include in the inspiration. And one of the things that struck me is, why was Paul gone to Jerusalem? He was going there to deliver the offering to the church. But you notice Luke doesn't mention anything at all about what they've thought about that, or how, or even about him delivering the offering. It just says we were received gladly and warmly, but it doesn't even mention the offering. And I just found that interesting. But he more testified to the glory and the work of God in their midst. The second principle we discover from Paul this morning, if we want to live missionally, if we want to represent Christ well in our world, is to sacrifice Christian liberty for the sake of unity. You say, now what do you mean by this? It's strange what happened here. As Luke was recording this, as Paul shared all the goodness of what God was doing among the Gentiles through his ministry in verse 20, and when they heard this, they praised God. But their reaction was, James's reaction was a little strange. Because as soon as he heard this, he then praised God, but he said, but you see, Paul, we have brothers here. Look how many thousands of Jews who believe, and they are just as zealous for the law as you are. He said, yeah, you talked about what God did among the Gentiles, but look what God did among the Jews. And he said, we have all these thousands of Jews who believe. And he said, and they have heard and been informed that you teach the Jews who live among the Gentiles to turn away from Moses, telling them not to circumcise their children or to live according to their customs. What shall we do? They will certainly hear that you have come, and do what we tell you. There are four men who with us who have made a vow. Take these men and join in the purification rites and pay their expenses so that they can have their heads shaved. Then everybody will know there is no truth in these reports about you and that you yourself are living in obedience to the law. Strange. That was James' reaction to this. He said, well, yeah, God did some great things among the Gentiles, but here's what he's doing among the Jews. And there's four guys here that took a vow, and Paul, you go and you pay their expenses for them. Because there's a rumor going around that you don't support the law anymore. You're telling the Gentiles that they don't have to follow the customs of Moses. Strange. What was James asking Paul to do? James asked Paul, the Jewish Christians had spread a rumor that Paul had no regard for the law, and he was teaching the Jewish believers that they did not need to follow the requirements of the law anymore or to follow the Jewish customs and traditions because of Jesus were set free from that. So James, the brother of Jesus, who was Jewish to the core, and James was the leader of the church of Jerusalem at this time, asked Paul to join in the purification rites of four Jewish believers who had taken a Nazarite vow. And to do so, he would show that he had respect for the law and the tradition of Moses. And Paul decides to do it. We'll talk more about that in a minute. But he decided to do it. And you say, well, why did Paul do that? Didn't Paul know and Paul believe that salvation is by faith alone, not by keeping the law? And he was preaching that we're saved by law, by grace, not by law. We don't need to keep teachings of the law anymore. Why did Paul submit to this? We'll talk about that in a second. But this vow that Paul was to do goes back to Numbers chapter 6. We have to go back a little bit to the Old Testament to understand what James was asking of Paul. And there was, in the Old Testament, Numbers chapter 6, there was a Nazarite vow. People could voluntarily take a vow before the Lord for a certain time of days. They would dedicate themselves to the Lord in a special vow that they would make to show they had a special commitment to the Lord they were making. It was called a Nazarite vow. And when they made that vow, during that length of time, they were not permitted to cut their hair. So that's part of the key here. They were not permitted to cut their hair. It had to remain long. They were not permitted to drink any wine, and they were not permitted to touch a dead body. So for the whole length of that time. So James says these four guys had made a Nazarite vow, and they need to get their hair cut, and they have to bring the sacrifice to have that vow completed. So Paul, you pay those expenses for them. We say, well, that's not too much, but here's what the expenses were. When the vow was to be completed on the day of cleansing, each person was to bring a year-old male lamb without defect, a year-old ewe lamb without defect, a ram without defect, a grain offering, a drink offering, a basket of bread without yeast, cakes made without flour, and wafers spread with fine oil. He had to bring all of that. And James was asking Paul to provide that for each of the four men. So that's quite a sacrifice, quite an expense on Paul's behalf that he was asking Paul to do. And then, at the entrance of the temple, when they would bring these gifts, they were to then shave off their hair and burn it on the fire of the sacrifice, showing that their vow of completion was over. So that's what was the background of this vow. And James says, I want you, Paul, to be willing to go pay that, stand with them as they have their shave, haircut, and fulfill this vow. So James asked Paul to pay for the expenses. So why did Paul agree? Paul knew that the law could not save. Paul knew that more sacrifices were needed. And Paul taught that Jesus was the fulfillment of the law and was all fulfilled for him. So why did he agree to James to go and stand with these men and pay and take part in this Jewish ritual? It brings us to the principle that what Paul was trying to teach us and the Lord was trying to teach us is we sometimes we need to sacrifice Christian liberty for the sake of unity. Why did Paul agree? For the sake of unity and love. For the sake of the gospel and for reaching others for Jesus and not to offend his Jewish brothers. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and we'll see where Paul taught this principle. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning at verse 19. Paul says, writing to the church of Corinthians, he said, though I am free and belong to no man, I myself make myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I become like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I become like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I become like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I become weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all men, so that by all possible means I may save some. I do this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. And Paul realized, if that's what it takes to reach my Jewish brothers, even though I believe I'm free from that and don't need to abide by it, I'll sacrifice my Christian freedom in order to seek to win them for Jesus, in order to seek so they're not offended. Go with me to Romans chapter 14. Paul continuing to teach on this subject. Chapter 14 of Romans, beginning at verse 1. He says, accept him whose faith is weak without passing judgment on disputable matters. One man's faith allows him to eat everything, but another man whose faith is weak eats only vegetables. The man who eats everything must not look down on him who does not, and the man who does not eat everything must not condemn the man who does. For God has accepted him. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? To his own master he stands or falls, and he will stand, for the Lord has enabled him to stand. One man considers one day more sacred than another. Another man considers each day alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. And going down to verse 13. So stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your own mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in your brother's way. As one who is in the Lord Jesus, I am fully convinced that no food in itself was unclean. But if anyone regards something as unclean, to him it is unclean. If your brother is distressed because of what you eat, you are no longer acting in love. Do not, by your eating, destroy your brother for whom Christ died. Do not allow what you consider good to be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating or drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So Paul said, I don't want to put a stumbling block in my brother's way. And even though I don't feel this is important, it's necessary, I'll go along with it, he said, in order to not to offend my brothers in Christ. That's the principle. Sometimes God calls us to be willing to sacrifice our Christian liberty for the sake of somebody else so that they not become offended. And you may have your own personal convictions about certain issues, but another brother and sister in Christ may have a different opinion on that. And that's okay. But Paul says sometimes when we're with that person, we shouldn't engage in that activity if we know it's something that would offend them and it's something that would bother them. So we're called to sacrifice sometimes out of love our Christian liberty for the sake of others. And we see that demonstrated in Paul's life. And he did, and he went along with them, and he joined in this purification rite. So what happened? He goes to the temple. He stands with the men. They're purifying themselves, completing, having their hair cut, fulfilling this vow. And while he is there, a disturbance happens in the temple. And that was what Jean had read. The men of Israel, these men saw him there, and they saw that Paul had entered into the temple, and they began to cause a disturbance. This brings us to the third point. If we want to live missionally, we need to endure hardship on account of Christ. And Paul did that. They gathered a whole mob against him, and they arrested him, and they carried him off, and they began to beat him, and the troops, the Roman troops, didn't even know what was going on. And the commander came and had him arrested and beat and bound with two chains, which was what had been prophesied. And the scripture said they carried him away, and the people shouted away with him. And Paul knew the hardship was ahead for him. But he willingly endured that on the account of Jesus. And whenever we're living for Jesus, missionally, share and don't be afraid to testify to the goodness of God in your life. Share what he has done with those around us who need to know and may be encouraged by that, that they may be give praise and uplift to the Lord as well. But at times, if we need to sacrifice our Christian liberty for the sake of unity in order to reach someone else for Jesus, or that they may, a brother and sister may not be offended as well, realizing we do it for the sake of the gospel, and then being willing to endure hardship on account of Jesus, and that's not easy. We think of today, we think of the day of our brothers and sisters in Christ and the persecuted church that are doing that, that enduring hardship willingly for the sake of Jesus. And we stand with them in support of them. But knowing that the scripture says, Paul said here in Romans 8:18, that I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Because we may endure suffering and hardship here, but the present, but the future glory that is in store for us is far greater. And our life here may seem like a long time if the Lord gives us 70, 80 years, or like Arlene, 100 and more. And that may seem like a long time, but you know, that's a little dot in the midst of eternity. And we think of all that is ahead of us and all that is in store, the glory that is awaiting us, the hardship, the suffering, the trials that we endure here, it will be worth it all when we stand before Jesus. And so keeping our perspective where it needs to be. And Paul said, I gladly endure hardship for the sake of Jesus and for his glory, that Christ may be found in me. So God has called us all to that missionary living, to be willing to represent him well, sharing in the goodness of what he has done, being our life being a testimony to his glory, and if need be, willing to put others before ourselves and sacrificing our liberty so that others can come to know Jesus, and willing to suffer hardship for the case of the gospel in the face of reaching him. We'll continue on in this story, see what happens as Paul is arrested next week and continues on to bear his defense and the glory of God. But God calls us all where we are to be a missionary for him, representing him well in a world that so desperately needs Jesus. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the example and life of Paul, who served you well and was able to the Jews become Jew, to the Gentiles become Gentile, not compromising the gospel, not compromising the truth, but doing that because he wanted people to know you. And he was willing to sacrifice his own personal liberty for the sake of others to come to know you. And Lord, we don't want to offend others, other brothers and sisters in Christ either. And so Lord, we don't want to put a stumbling block in the way of somebody else that would cause them to fall. So Lord, help us to realize that we live for others, even though we're free in Christ. We don't want to offend a brother or sister in Jesus, or we don't do anything. We want to live in a way that others are drawn to you. So Lord, may your glory be seen in us as we our life is a testimony, a living witness and example of your goodness in our life and the ways that you've worked and done in us, what you've done in us. And Lord, may your glory be displayed in us. And Lord, if hardship and suffering come our way, not that we are longing for that, but we can expect it because your word tells us, because they hated you, they hate us. Lord, help us to endure willingly and bear up your cross and follow you as your faithful disciple, following your example, Lord, until the day you call us home. So Lord, help us to live well, missionally, intentionally, and on purpose for you, that our lives would make a difference for you, whether in big and small ways, just wherever we are every day. May you be seen and lived through us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.